It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. Welcome to Lightning Radio. The Lightning is on the streets. The Lightning is in your mailboxes. And it's Thursday morning, which means it's on the radio. And this morning, sitting in for Bill Moss is guest editor and world famous in Henderson County for his weekly column, Ask Matt, Mr. Matt Madison. Good morning, Matt Madison. How are you, sir?
You know, Mark, I couldn't be better. It's a great day in America.
It is a great day in America. It's a great day in Hendersonville and in Henderson County. And thank you for joining us this morning for Lightning Radio.
It's my pleasure.
You're joining us for a couple of reasons. Number one, Bill's out of town. But number two, the Lightning today is featuring a two-part story that you've been working on for a while, and it's all about the Latino population here in Hendersonville and Henderson County?
Henderson County, absolutely. Okay. The whole county. And yes, and it's growing. And probably everybody knows that, but what we tried to do is to get down into the rise on the wherefores and what's trending. And,
sure.
And we don't know what the total population will be officially until September. Because of COVID, the U.S. Census Service has not made those numbers public yet.
Okay.
But we think that there'll probably be at least 20,000 Hispanic, which is the proper definition.
Okay.
Individuals that on the census, and that's not counting temporary workers that are right now starting to work the fields and orchards.
So Matt, you and I were talking off mic a little bit about this story, and you were just talking about the fact that of course the headline is as the Latino population grows, entrepreneurs expand businesses. So a lot more Latino or Hispanic businesses. We were talking about the fact that when I first moved here permanently back in 93, there was one authentic Mexican restaurant. It was El Chapala in their original location. And you said now there are
25. Not counting the taco trucks.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. So let's get into the story because I haven't read through this yet. But again, this is just part one of a two-part series. Part two will be out for next week's Lightning.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mark, the part one is basically we're talking about the business growth, the history. You know, the Latinos have been here for 75 years, picking apples and tomatoes since World War II and haven't stopped. But we'll talk about immigration, green cards, job market, the faith community, which is kind of interesting in itself. It's not what you might think it is. The community and the legal issues, and then next week we'll cover the culture, the Latino culture, some of the restaurants, migrant education, which you can get a high school diploma even if you're only here 6 months and your parents work picking apples and tomatoes. We interviewed Sheriff Lowell Griffin, and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about next week we'll talk about lady that her name is Crystal Figueroa that ran for state senate, which is kind of a first for Chuck Edwards' seat.
How about that? You know, one of the things we have to think about also is we have a really amazing health company here, for lack of a better term, now in Western North Carolina called Blue Ridge Health. And it started because it was ultimately some health for migrant workers. It was nurses going out and taking care of the workers who were just here part-time. It started as that, and now look at it.
Yeah, and it's grown, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll get into a little of that.
So we've got a break coming up here in a little bit, but Matt, let's get into it. Let's talk about some of the things you've learned. I'm sure you've worked really hard on this story. So talk to us about some of the things you've learned about our Hispanic population while doing this story.
Well, first of all, Mark, when you go to your restaurant and you see a young Latina or Latino server You know, you well, you know, you might say, well, where do they come from? And today, the chances are they were born here in Harrison County.
Yep.
They're educated in our school system, and even if they're undocumented, you can get an education, you know, because of the 14th Amendment. And after high school, that changes, and then it gets a little murky about whether you can go to the community college or whatever.
Okay.
But, and you know, within state rates. So those servers they're local people. And if you know, they may speak Spanish, but they go home, they speak Spanish, but you know, if in school they speak English, and then sometimes they're better at English than their parents.
Right. Right. And contributing to the local economy.
And then I found in this research that not everybody is Mexican. You know, you have a lot of people in this community that are natives of Venezuela, Colombia, you know, and they're not necessarily aligned, you know, culturally with Mexicans. And a lot of them, you know, don't look, you know, the same. But they what they have in common, I've learned, is two things: the Spanish language and soccer.
I
love their soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is something we see more of now on the weekends.
And if you go down to Edneyville, there's a artificial turf soccer field, and on Sundays it rocks.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, all the Latinos are down there playing soccer and having a good time. And it's amazing. Uh-huh.
Interesting. One of the things you and I were talking about off mic, and of course this is back to the education piece, we've been reading off the names of our graduating seniors, and it's been really surprising to me hearing the number, the amount of Hispanic names that you hear, you know, as we read off our graduating seniors. Very interesting, especially this year I noticed it.
Yeah, and that's not going to change, and we'll see the numbers move come September. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that we think in the school system. Well, we know in the school system right now, it's 27% Hispanic.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk more about things. One of the things you were telling me about is these different terms I have heard recently.
You've heard the term Latino. Latina is feminine.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a new term, Mark.
Yes, thank you.
It's called Latinx. L-A-T-I-N-X.
I've heard that a few times recently, and I thought, what is that?
And
what
you can pronounce it Latinx or Latinx.
Okay.
I've heard both ways from people that know.
Okay. And what is that exactly?
It's a gender neutral term mostly Spanish-speaking population.
Okay. All right. I wondered when I heard that. I thought, what is that exactly?
And they don't mind using it. And the people that I talked to said, well, do you mind the term brown, you know, as opposed to white and black?
Yeah.
No. Nobody's offended.
Wow.
The Latinos that I spoke with for this story never offended.
So talk to me, Matt. Again, we're speaking with Matt Madison for Lightning Radio today. He's sitting in for Bill Moss, guest editor now for the Lightning. talk to us about this research that you did, how you went about this research, and who you spoke with.
Well, it started probably in right after, you know, COVID looked like it was opening up, and I could go out and actually, you know, conduct interviews. And so I started, you know, talk to people that I knew who are that knew the community. And then we talked to people like the folks at Sergio at LAC, Latino Advocacy Coalitions.
Okay.
And Lori at True Ridge, which is a funny name for a very awesome organization serves the Latino community. Both those organizations are good. They each do somewhat different things, but it's all its service.
Okay.
And we talked to people at Pisgah Legal Services that has a unique function. I've talked to lawyers that represent the Latino community for immigration matters. There's so much there that it's very, very complicated for a lot of people. So if you're a Latino and you're not totally documented, you might have a green card, you might have a work visa, you might have a H-2A, which is a worker's visa for like a guest worker, 6 months visa.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, different. And I made the point in the story that you could have a family, and I did meet a family that had four different types, levels of documentation in one family. It's for those different things that, you know, because, you know, you might be a naturalized citizen,
uh-huh.
You might have a green card, you might have a work visa, you might have a student visa, you know, it's complicated.
Wow. I'm looking forward to talking more about this. We're going to take a break right now, but you're listening to Lightning Radio on WTZQ. The lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it's on the radio. And we have our guest host this morning, Mr. Matt Madison, who is, of course, world famous in Henderson County for his Ask Matt column on Lightning Radio. But he has a two-part series that we're talking about today, Beyond the Orchards, as the Latino population grows, entrepreneurs expand businesses. We'll be back with Lightning Radio in just a bit.
Kaysen Builders Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years, the official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with guest editor Matt Madison, world famous in Henderson County for his daily, his weekly column Ask Matt in the Lightning. And I'll ask Matt about Ask Matt coming up in just a little bit. Matt, before we get to some of the other stories, let's stick again with this this two part series that you're doing, Beyond the Orchards, as the Latino population grows. Is there something? Are there a couple of things you can pinpoint that were surprising to you to find out in this research that you did?
Yes, Mark. Right off the bat, the Latino faith community is diverse, and one might think, well, all Latinos are Roman Catholic. That's not the case.
Yeah.
Many are, but there is just as many Baptists, and there are other denominations, Lutheran, and so it's very very diverse.
Uh-huh.
One other thing that I was speaking with Alfredo Oviedo at the Grace Lutheran Church, and he's been around for many, many years, and has a very good grasp of the community, the Latino community as well. And he told me that a lot of times Latinos, particularly from Mexico, will want to return home because their families are there, and Latinos are very family oriented.
I was going to bring that up.
Two things that everybody says: they're hardworking and they're family oriented.
Yeah,
and when they go home, they're, you know, sometimes they've been working here for say 20 years, okay, and they want to return to their home place, their hometown. You know, it's like anyone wants to do.
Yeah,
you know, that's why a lot of people come back here.
Yeah,
and they find that things are not the same, and the cultural is a cultural difference, and they're not. The economy is not the way it is here. They're not necessarily as welcome there.
Things
politically, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they come back. They want to come back here. And I thought that was interesting.
Wow. That is interesting. It is interesting. There's a sad part of that, because I understand wanting to go back, and then you go, you can never really go back home again.
And I asked one person, what makes the difference? And the answer was, wherever there more family members is where they end up.
That's where they end up, where they have the most family. Wow.
Yeah.
So in your let me ask you this: in your research with this, did you have an opportunity to talk to any of them about
immigration?
Immigration. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
And the fear or the comfort level with that. Okay.
That's interesting because the term fear has come up from many different individuals that we spoke with.
Yeah.
And I think we spoke with the Sheriff Lowell Griffin.
Yeah.
Sheriff Griffin does an awesome job.
Yeah.
But he also has some issues, you know, with this program called 287G, which is very hard to explain, but basically it means that Henderson County has deputies that can assist and are trained and deputized to assist enforcement of federal immigration laws.
Okay.
It's very, very controversial.
Yep, it is.
We're one of the few counties that does it. But I think that Sheriff Griffin is very aware of the community. He has people on his staff that are liaisons to the Latino community.
Uh-huh.
And makes an effort to do that. Now, the point is the fear still there? I think it's very hard to erase it just, you know, overnight.
Yeah.
But that's a challenge, and I think he knows it's a challenge.
Wow, interesting. So again, it's a two-part series, Beyond the Orchards, as the Latino population grows, entrepreneurs expand businesses. You talk about business. You talk about so many aspects of the Hispanic life and the Hispanic lifestyle here in Henderson County. Part two coming out next week in next week's Lightning, right?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Look forward to it.
Look, yeah, absolutely. It's a really great story, as you can tell, just from our questions here today. With our remaining time, Matt, again, we're speaking with Matt Madison, guest editor of The Lightning and guest host this morning on Lightning Radio. Let's talk about a couple of other news stories that we have in The Lightning this week. And there's more news on the Acosta Trail.
The Acosta Trail is moving forward, officially changed hands legally. You know, the title to the 19-mile corridor is about to change hands, and the Blue Ridge Southern Railroad will be transferring title to Conserving Carolina, which is the preservation group that serves about five counties in western North Carolina. What's interesting, Mark, in this is that the story that Bill wrote is very accurate, and it talks about takings and the attorneys from St. Louis have down here and others.
Oh yeah,
and they want to get exact money from the federal government because that supposedly the railroad took someone's property and didn't pay them for it. From my close understanding with the Friends of the Acosta Trail organization, that there may be some of those legitimate claims, but from our research, most of those property owners were paid.
Yeah.
But you know, what's more interesting than that that's in the story that Bill wrote is the fact that there are two entities that are partnering with Conserving Carolina.
Uh huh.
Henderson County is our side of the line.
Yeah.
And on the Transylvania County side, it's not Transylvania County at all.
It's Brevard.
It's the city of Brevard.
Yes.
Transylvania County has always been reluctant to jump into this project.
They kept thinking they might get something at that Acosta plant, but that's been a long time.
And at this juncture, we commend the city of Brevard for jumping in, and so it's going to go. It's going to be a great project. It's going to serve two counties very well, and just stay tuned, and we'll be bringing you more stories on the trail.
And this is one of those stories too, where it's sort of the hurry up and wait. I mean, it's been a long time in the making, and when these dominoes start falling, they're going to fall really fast.
Right.
Things are going to happen really fast.
We're
coming
already
up.
We're seeing people investing in properties, and even before this trail is,
And let's make a note also, these lawyers that came down looking at all this property, this was not a surprise. This was not a, oh my gosh, now what's happening.
No.
fully expected from the very beginning.
Yeah, and from our research, you know, we knew this, you know, that, you know, oh, they'll say, the people in the national organizations will say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, get ready for the lawyers, you know. And you know, if there's a legitimate claims, you know,
right.
I think it's great.
Sure,
you know, they
absolutely.
Should do it. But and the lawyers aren't going to make any money unless it is a legitimate claim.
Right.
They're not being paid, ahead of time. So we'll see. It's not going to slow down the project.
Right. Of course not. Of course not. It's just part of it.
Yeah,
it's part of it.
One of the things that comes along with the...
That comes with the territory, knew it was coming. You know, there's never anything boring about Four Seasons politics.
Right.
It's never boring. Politics are never boring in this town, which is one of the reasons why the Lightning is such a strong, strong information vehicle here in Hendersonville and Henderson County. Let's, in our final moments here, Matt, let's talk about Four Seasons politics. Looks like we might have a runoff in municipal elections this year, huh?
Well, this,
or for the upcoming elections.
This is the filing for municipal elections. You know, they're off-year elections from our national, you know, elections.
And, yeah.
So right now we have Mayor Barbara Volk and Mayor Pro Tem Jerry Smith have already filed, and then there are two newcomers that are Debbie Roundtree and Rafael Morales. And then there's also a story that Bill did on the newcomer Mike Bear, and he's a resident. And he and his wife Cindy operate the Elizabeth Lee Inn on Fifth Avenue West.
Uh-huh.
And then the other part of this big story is that Jeff Miller,
yep,
who has Miller's Cleaners and Laundry, has chosen not to run again,
mm-hmm,
after two terms. And of course, Mark, we know the other reason why he's not running. Too much dirty laundry.
Oh, I should have expected that. I should have seen that driving up the block, Matt. I should have seen that one driving up the block. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Glad to know that Mayor Barbara Volk has chosen to run again, or has she announced yet?
She is going to run. Yes,
she is. Okay, yes. I couldn't remember whether she had announced or whether she.
But in all fairness, Bill does a good job of covering Jeff, yeah, Miller's accomplishments. He's been a real asset to that board.
Yeah, it really is a great story. And you mentioned Debbie Roundtree. That's a name that we have heard numerous times in elections. She has run for numerous offices. So maybe
that's correct.
Maybe this will be her opportunity.
Could be
coming up. Matt, there's still so much more in this week's Lightning. We want to remind folks to look for those orange racks all around Henderson County to pick up your copy of the Lightning. And can you tell us how people can get a copy of the Lightning?
Yes, and pick up a copy. There's boxes all over, and they're listed on the online and in the newspaper. So just go down to the offices on Highway 25 and. I think it's
right beside that shiny brand new Henderson Hendersonville High School.
Right next to the new school, yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Madison, again, thank you so much for this great two-part story on Beyond the Orchards, the Latino population here in Henderson County. And thank you also for your weekly column, Ask Matt in the Lightning. And let me ask you one more thing while we have it. I love the Ask Matt column. Everybody loves it. It's incredibly popular. Can you name one or two things what are one or two of your favorite stories you were able to do for Ask Matt?
Stink bugs comes right to mind, Mark.
I mean, there was no time even thought about that. Stink bugs.
Yeah, that was a big one.
and what was the question and what was the answer?
Why were there so many?
Yeah, and how do they get inside all the time?
We're still working on that one.
Still working on that one. Stink bugs. So if people have a question and they want to get to the bottom of it, how can they send their question to Ask Matt?
Ask Matt just go online or follow the Ask Matt link,
uh-huh,
or just AskMattM@gmail.com.
AskMattM@gmail.com. Matt, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. And thank you for these stories that you're doing.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, fantastic. Folks, pick up your copy of this week's Lightning. You can get the first part of this story, Beyond the Orchards, as the Latino population grows, entrepreneurs expand businesses. And then be sure to pick up next week's also as you get part two of the story.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com.